You are now online with Andrea, with your host, Andrea Garrison.
Good afternoon. Welcome. You are now online with Andrea. I am your host, Andrea Garrison. I'd like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. Our topic today is the Divine Arts Media book, The Toad of Dawn, and that's 5 MEODMT and the Rise of Cosmic Consciousness. And our guest is Dr. Octavio Rettig Inoyosa. Hopefully I'm trying to get your name, but welcome, Doctor. I'm just so touched by you and your work that you do.
Well, Andrea, thanks for the opportunity. Really happy to share my message, my word with you and your audience. And yeah, you said it right. That's my name. And so happy and excited for the work and for the book and for the documentary and for the message that people are receiving through this beautiful sacred medicine. So thank you very much for the time and the space, and let's do it.
Yeah, what I want to do is read a little bit from your book, and I'm actually going to read from page 77 and 78, if you don't mind. A little bit, and then we'll get into our discussion. I want you to know I have many pages turned down in your book, so people really have to get the book. I don't believe in writing in books, so I almost have every page turned down. So it says, marijuana became the medicine that my crazy brain began to use to feel balanced. The first few times I smoked, I felt a warmth that went through my entire body. My eyes popped and their corners turned red. I will never forget the first time I smoked cannabis. It was astonishing to feel ideas surging through me. My perception of time was altered, and I felt like I was floating. I saw the floor as being very far away. I was elevated. It was magical. My sense of humor was exaggerated. I was constantly laughing. Classic symptoms, of course. I was inebriated without having to drink alcohol. The feeling was so encouraging. I assumed all drugs were the same and began the path of broad experimentation. It would be years before any substance felt as unique as cannabis. But because it was so easy to experiment, when I was offered inhalants, I accepted. Then came psychotropic pills and finally cocaine. Now I understand that all these street drugs are poison, that imprison, destroy, and enslave lives. They have nothing to do with the magic of sacred medicinal plants, but it would be years before I learned that. Due to my increased abuse of these substances, I had a very problematic adolescence, and my old friends pulled away from me. Soon, I was mostly talking to drug users. The social and family stigma that this produced left deep marks. Incorrect information, obsolete beliefs, and taboos became a part of my reality. School for me was effortless and didn't feel like I had to really challenge myself. Being possessive and obsessive is another personality trait that I've had for as long as I can remember. A constant and exhaustive struggle began in my nuclear family. My mother an excellent woman, always sought for her children, education, love, and anything else within her reach. Now she saw before her eyes one of her worst fears. Her oldest son was being destroyed by addiction. And that's amazing, because that, and the book is beautifully written from the heart, is well into the book. And but I was so moved by that and your story. So if you would please just tell us a little bit about your journey, your background, where you're from, where you grew up, and then tell us a little bit about your addiction, and just your whole journey from where it started, how it progressed, and as it came to a close.
Okay. Well, Andrea, I was born in Ciudad Guzmán, Jalisco. That it's a small city, 1 hour and a half south of Guadalajara, Jalisco, in Mexico. The main activities in this village is farming and cattle. And my grandfather runs a farm with porks and chickens and horses. So my first years were surrounded by nature in this peaceful place. Then I moved with my mother and my brother to Guadalajara, and I grew there. And I finished my med school in Guadalajara University in the year 2002. And my path has been inspired and directed by my experiences with the elements that exist in the planet, and on the teachings that I was receiving from society, family, and religion, and all the system of beliefs that we have. So my problems with addictions start when I was born. I really believe that we all humans are addicts, and addiction, it's a part of daily and normal life. It's just that people can earn and learn different activities, and these habits will put a label on them, and it will be a mark on us forever. And everything is related with the education and also with the ignorance. So at the beginning, it was just toys, sugar, food, brands, exercise or sports, and video games and books. And then my compulsion for being a consumer and trying to fill up this emptiness and this lack of love that I was feeling inside of my heart, because like everyone else, I was raised for feeling disconnected, feeling alone, and feeling a part of something bigger, but without really feeling this connection with the nature or the planet or your own body. Because as we grow, all the activities that we do is about making our mind stronger and to disconnect our mind from our heart. So after I was a teenager, I was already drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes, because they are connected with the celebration of life. Everyone in every single party, they used to just drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes. That's what adults do. And when I finished my secondary school and went through the high school, I was only 14 years old. So I was trying to fit in this new environment, and I start to act as the people around me. So I felt instantaneously that alcohol was not good, but at the same time was accepted. And I wanted to be the center of the attention and to be the soul of the party. So I was just trying to drink more than everyone else and to smoke more than everyone else, just to for being for my ego and my necessity of love and attention.
Now, did
So
you feel when you were doing this, did you feel sick doing it, or did you?
yeah, it was not good for my body. I mean, it was fun at the moment, but later all the hangover and the fact that you don't remember what you did and all the headache and all that, it was just disgusting. And yeah, I was feeling sick, but I was too young and I was just following the example of the people around me, all the people that I watch in the movies. And all the people that I was watching on the videos and the music and everyone was just about alcohol, party, girls, and drugs. So I was afraid of trying any drugs because all the education that I received was against drugs. But at the same time, I was already a drug addict because I was hooked into all the different activities that gave me any kind of pleasure. So it was just shifting from one thing to another thing. And at the beginning was just cigarettes and alcohol. But one day I came to the bathroom of the high school and some guys were smoking cannabis. I had this the smell of the smoke before, and it was just sweet and attractive. So after a few toks of the cigarette, I was instantaneously flying high, and for me it was more beneficial and less harmful than the alcohol. It was not any overdose, and it was cheaper, and I was feeling just better. So I didn't understood. I was then in this confusion. Why society and people is blaming and judging this plant and saying that it's wrong and accepting all these substances when, in my own experience, something different is happening. So then I start to mistrust everything around me, my education, my family, all the messages that I received from media and from the school was just twisted.
Is
People were
that
just.
a normal process for people who are addicts? And I think it's interesting because you say, in a sense, we are all addicted to
Yeah.
something,
Yeah.
which is really fascinating. Because you even mentioned exercise or.
Yeah, or looking good, or just being fit into the rules, or just being a role model for a family, or just trying to live your life through your kids or through your partner instead of having yourself your life. And when everyone is taken away from these activities that they love, they instantaneously have a abstinence syndrome, and they start to have all these reactions about being out of control. And that happens with any addiction, not only substances or illegal substances. So I really believe that we are living in a really sick society, and people sometimes don't realize that they are slaves from their own habits and their own expectations of life. But it's because we also are manipulated and controlled by the system itself. And it's a task of everyone just to start to awake first themselves and then try to create and build a global consciousness, collective consciousness about we are our food, we are our habits, we are our planet, and we are just one big family. But we don't feel like that anymore because of all the education and because all the things that we are consuming. We are just far away from our origins and from the source. And I think that these sacred medicines and these integers are the link for remembering clearly that we are one with the universe. And it's not about pretending it. It's about acting like that and feeling that and knowing that. And this will you never experience it through other person. You need to have your own experience. And I think that that's why I choose myself to do this, walk this path. But also, it was not my intelligence or my will. I was directed, and I just follow the instructions of nature. Like, I start to receive this better comprehension of myself and my own nature through the plants and through these entheogens, and I start to receive more wisdom through these practices than the people around me and the books that I wrote and all this, I don't know, the culture.
It's interesting, you know, that I was listening to you and you were talking about, you know, like you were pretty much the life of the party, right? And you would think that, oh, you were getting a lot of stimulus and probably giving off a lot of stimulus. But yet, at the same time, you were pretty much becoming numb, correct?
Yeah.
It's kind of an oxymoron in a weird sort of sense, isn't it? That one could be the life of the party, but yet be sort of numbing themselves to what life is really all about.
Really, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, because I discovered that cannabis was great, then I thought that then all the rest of the drugs were the same, because all the drugs were considered as bad and as poison and as dangerous. So then I start trying all the kind of drugs that were around me. And one day I took 7 clonazepam pills, and then I was asleep for like 3 days. And when I woke up, I was turned into an imbecile. I didn't remember anything, and I was unable to speak a sentence correctly. So my mom called my dad, and he was an engineer, but then he started to study homeopathy, and he made a diagnosis through my iris saying that I had a brain damage. So that day I turned from being the good son to being a waste and a shame. And it was hard for me, because everything was because of the confusion. Everything was because of the ignorance. Everything was because no one told me the truth. Everything was because I was just immature, and I was just trying to explore. And I just know that there is millions of guys like me out there, and they are under the same risk, because we are double moral society. On one hand, we say something, but on the other, we are doing the opposite. And that's really sad. So that day, I decided to become a doctor because I wanted to understand better the whys and the hows, but also I wanted to teach people that was something wrong in our education. So after I finished my high school, I was 17, and I applied to the med school. And after I was finishing my career, then I started to try the real entheogens and the real psychedelics. The first one was the Salvia Divinorum. And then I went to try the peyote in Wirikuta, in Real de 14, in Mexico. And then I mixed the Salvia Divinorum with the peyote. And then I had this epiphany. I received this message from nature, and that day my life was changed. I knew by then that nature was special, that I was not alone, that it was something greater than myself, and that we all are part of it, and that everything is perfect, and even it's improving. And I was just transform from in 15 minutes. The guy that I was died there, and then it was a new person, more trustful and complete grateful, but also with a lot of work to do. So I knew that I needed to go against all the flow to achieve my freedom. And then I will receive a tool that will help me to guide other people so they can do the same by themselves. And this was about freeing myself of all my demons that I was creating with my education and my habits and my expectations. So I start trying all kinds of psychedelics, and then I start to smoke crack. And in just a few months, all my life was destroyed by my compulsion and my obsession. But the crack didn't create the problem. The crack only made it clear and impossible to control and or deny. So I was completely out of control, but this was just a product of my whole life. This was a product of being myself my whole life, being society my whole life, being my education my whole life, being the things that I heard, the things that I believed, the things that I wanted, the things that I was expecting, and that was it for me.
So how do you do it, though? How did you pull yourself out of such a deep addiction? And
it's because the addiction was already there. It's just that I was using every time stronger stimulants, and then I went through the hard drugs, and these hard drugs, like with me and with everyone else, will destroy their lives because you cannot control it. You are just a slave. And this is really addictive and really destructive, so and really expensive. So I was just hooked and sick in less than a month. I was completely a crackhead, and I spent like that the next 3.5 years. And I tried everything to try to find a way out. Nothing worked. And one day I received the toad medicine from the same hand of the guy who gave me the first salvia, the first peyote, the first mushroom, the first LSD, and also the guy who introduced me to the crack cocaine. So I didn't walk this path alone. I was helped by also someone else, and this was like a way also to prove that this is true, because after the years also my friend he healed himself also with the medicine, and he also wrote a book about his experiences, and now he's also working creating a sanctuary for protecting the toad. And I just feel that in the
your voice
perfect wisdom, and
it's
a call for many humans, not only for one human, but for me it was necessary to have also someone that could testify that everything was real and not the product of my mind. And also for me to see that it was not my necessity of healing, it was that the medicine was really effective for that. And I believe that after the years, I learned so much about the medicine, because I worked with the medicine first, healing myself, and then I moved to Sonora, to toads close to the culture of the desert. And then I realized that no one there knew about the toad, that none of the tribes of the desert were using this medicine. So the catalyst of bringing back this knowledge to the masses and to do open ceremonies and to find the ceremony and the ritual around the medicine were given by the natives of Sonoran Desert, because I came to one of these communities treating mainly the crystal meth addiction problem among the population, but then the elders start to take the medicine, and then these new chants start flowing on their mouths in a completely oral tradition. So for them, this was like a rebirth of their own culture. I start to share the medicine in open spaces, outdoors, on nature, instead of being trapped in my house, in my consultation room, and to take the medicine out of the city into the wilderness again, and to see how important it is, the set and the setting. More important, how you are doing things and the intention that you have behind the things, directions, that the medicine or the substance or the things that you are ingesting. So it has been magical to feel the support of all these community, and also to see in an anonymous village the effect of this medicine, and to see clearly that this medicine can heal, really. The worst addiction anyone can have to the worst synthetic drugs, these weapons of mass destruction that the cartels are using, and they are all over the planet, and people all over the world are suffering from crystal meth addiction, from heroin addiction, from all these synthetic drugs. So I've seen clearly that these natural medicines can help and can make the difference in our society. But at the same time, we need to create the culture about respect these elements, because the same that is happening with ayahuasca, people is over exploring the jungle for having the medicine. And also the people are taking away the toads from the desert. And this is something that we need to express openly, that the best way is to protect and respect the environment and the toads in their land, and that no any toads in captivity will be safer than in their own land. That I am completely against the promoting of having these beings in captivity, and also the usage of any kind of synthetic drugs. So I'm trying to create a culture of respect about the sacred natural medicines, and to build centers that work not only with the toad medicine, but all the rest of the natural ancient medicines. I'm working since the last year with the Yopo, that it's also 5-MeO-DMT, but with NMDMT. This comes from the Anandantera peregrina tree from Venezuela.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking, though? People don't think that when you take things out of their original, their natural, their sacred environment, it's not the same. It's not going to be the same, is it?
No, it is not. And this is not the first time that this happened. When Maria Sabina tried the synthetic psilocybin, she said that, yeah, the effect was similar, but the spirit of the mushroom was not there.
Right.
And in my own life, I've tried all kinds of synthetic drugs, and then I start to try the natural medicines, and I can tell the difference between one or another one. But I've seen people that only know the synthetic form, and they think that it's the same. And I believe that it's risky for people to try any kind of white powder that they don't know who made it and that is not regulated. And I believe that these can be the reason for having people with overdoses or with intoxications or with poisonings, and that these can be associated with the natural medicines. And I think that that's not the best approach that we need to do now as a society, because for more than 40 years there has been all this prohibitionism about all these substances, and now there is like a resurgence and a rebirth of all these. People are more interested with DMT and with the mushrooms and with the iboga and with the ayahuasca, and this is like all over the planet. But we need to at the same time fuse the ancient knowledge with the modern society, not because the ritual or the ceremony or the shaman is important. It's not that. It's because we need to create the connection between the root and the origins of the usage of these medicines. And these medicines were never used as a recreational substances. These medicines never were used for partying. These medicines are not for having fun. These medicines are for deep transformation in people's life, and also in the families, and also in the society. And I think that they belong to the sacred elements of nature, and I think that they also are connected with the development of our consciousness. And I think that we just need to put in different categories, in different places, these different elements. And to
now
try
I have
to
a question for you. If someone came to you and said they wanted to try the toad medicine, and if you didn't feel that their heart and their spirit and their soul was in the right place, would you let them try it?
Well, I really believe that the medicine belongs to every human, and I believe that the medicine is for everyone in the essence, but not everyone is ready or in condition for taking the medicine. And yes, I say no sometimes to people. Sometimes I ask to people to go first and try another medicines, to do a detox, to do a fast, to do cambo, to try to get ready for the medicine, because this experience is really strong and it's really intense, but at the same time, it's really safe. So there is only a few contraindications and also possible negative side effects. And like everything else, surgery or extreme sports, there is risks involved, and people need to assume that responsibility is not only a matter of concern of the practitioner, it's also about the participant, but more than anything, our society, that we need to change that stigma and that taboo that we are putting in everything that we don't know, and that we need to heal ourselves from fear, and our society from fear about dying, but also fear about living, and fear about experiencing. So I think that in the future, all these protocols of using all these different intuitions will be created by us, and that we are working hand by hand with the natives and also with the scientists, trying to create the best way to work with this medicine. But in the case of the Sonoran Desert Toad, there is no any background on this. There is no any guidance. So it's really difficult to be a pioneer, because you are not following anyone's rules. You are following your heart, and this all the time. It's difficult, but at the same time, it's beautiful. And I think that it's a great opportunity for all humans to do the difference. I really believe that there is enough medicine in Sonoran Desert for doing a global program of healing with this medicine. But I think that we need to protect the land, we need to protect the toad, and we need to create the understanding of respecting all this.
Yeah. Now, if you could tell, how do you know that someone is ready for the toad medicine? Because you said that you have suggested that some people try something else. But if someone comes to you, how do you know that they're ready for it?
Well, the first and only obstacle really is the fear of people. If someone is not sure about doing it, it's better that they don't try it, because this is not a walk in the park. This is really intense experience. But I gave the medicine to people with many kind of conditions, from heart transplanted to kidneys to diabetes to even prior heart attacks, and with many different of conditions, depression, blah, blah, blah. And I haven't seen any problem related with the medicine. But in my experience, I had a few cases of people that had some condition that they didn't know. And after or during the experience, this was just clear and there. And so I recommend to the people to just be sure about what they are doing and follow their hearts. And if someone is feeling bad with some kind of heart problem, or they are under any kind of psychiatric medication, I advise that people need to do this in a clinical environment or with some kind of supervision by the professionals of health. And this never must be taken with people that don't have any kind of training in first aids or in any kind of medical training, because this is really powerful medicine. The experience is really intense, and we are dealing with people that are sometimes really sick. And we are not doing this for fun. So my advice to people will be, go and do a detox. Try to come to the experience as cleaner as you can, as rested as you can. But for an example, the addicts, they can't stop taking the drugs for doing these kind of experience. So sometimes I give the medicine to people who are under the influence of many kind of toxics. And that's the reason for me to doing this work, because I heal myself with the medicine, or the medicine heal me. And I want to share that with other people, and I'm doing it. But it's necessary to have the contention, the support, the safe environment during the experience, and also the follow-up after the experience.
But you're rare, doctor. There aren't many people that have your expertise with the medicine. So people would have to get in touch with you. Correct, because
there is other people. There is, for example, Crossroads Clinic in Rosarito, Baja California. Dr. Martin Polanco, Dr. Joseph Peter Barzuglia. They are also working with the Iboga and the Toad Medicine in a really professional way. They are treating addicts of heroin with the Iboga, and they are now working also with the Toad Medicine. So I am not the only person who is working with this medicine. There is many other, but there is also a lot of fake people who from one day to another start to being shamans or practitioners, and some people are using really tiny small amounts of the medicine, so the people don't have any hard processes during or after, but this is just making a profit with the people necessity or their search, and other people are not trained at all with the usage of the medicine. They are just facilitators of this. And in my own experience, I think that this medicine works in a really deep way, and also the atmosphere created during the experience will have some influence on the final effect. So I've seen many different ways of doing this. At the beginning, I was just using a Tibetan bowl, or soft music in darkness and laying down. But when I start to do the experiences myself, standing, staring at directly at the sun, or the moon or the stars, like the final effect has been different. And the implementation of the Seri chants are also, I think that a different way to approach these two people. So I'm trying now to understand better the differences between the different techniques and methods that people are using, because now there is a bunch of guys and girls who are working with this medicine. I don't know if everyone is doing it in a sustainable way. I've seen that some people are doing fake medicine to people. In Mexico, I had the case of one person who took some kind of toad medicine, and then she started to have these hallucinations, and she ended it in a mental institution. So I went to see the girl, and after I gave the medicine twice to her, she said that the effects that she felt with the toad medicine were not the effects that she had the first two times that this guy gave her the medicine. So I think that this is serious, because this is not related. So be careful with the people that you are getting involved with, and try just to go with professionals and to make a little search on the background of the people, and just to try to be in a safe environment. Never do this alone. Never do this under the influence of other drugs or substances or alcohol. Don't do this as a recreational substance, and try to know that nothing can happen to you during or after. Everything is just a product of your mind. You are co-creating your reality, and we all are infinite love, and this medicine will connect you directly with that feeling of being without your body. It's a ego dissolution, and it's a connection with the oneness. Is this moment of truth that lasts forever, and we all are just a breath away from experiencing.
You know, it's interesting that you talked about how in some cases it may be better for people to be in more of a clinical setting, but you mentioned that for you it was really powerful being out with nature, looking at the sun or the moon. It's interesting because we were talking before the show, and you were saying that you are a world citizen.
Yeah.
That you are a 20th century nomad.
Yeah.
And that you live in your backpack.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, you have to tell us about that. I mean, you went from wanting everything material, doing everything just about, right?
Yeah.
To giving it all up, or did you really give up anything? Seems like you may have gained a lot, but if you can just talk about that.
First I wanted all, then I lose everything, and then I realized that it was unnecessary for me to have things, that sometimes attachments are a burden, and it's just a product of the obsession for trying to become someone through the materialism. So now I need less things than ever before. I spend less money in things that I need than ever before. I don't need to be worried or concern about all these little things that people are obsessed in their lives. And I've seen through walking in more than 30 countries that everywhere people is the same. Our differences are only superficial. And at the end of the day, we all are our emotions, our feelings, the joy, the sadness, the rage, the loneliness, the love. So I think that the future is to understand that everything is yours and you don't need a thing at the same time. That you are already there, that you are already God, and that you can choose all the time if you want to experience love or you want to experience fear. And I just feel free. I just feel happy. I just feel healthy. I just feel love. And I'm living my dream. I am the person that I wanted to be when I was a kid. I always wanted to be useful, to be in service, to have a meaning for my life. And I found that. So I just want more people to feel like me. And I'm saying that we all are the same, that no one is more or superior or inferior than the rest. But the rest, we all are in different processes, but at the end of the day, we all are family. We come and we are going also to the same place, and we only have this life, this time, this opportunity to do something with it, and I am doing it. So I am really happy to walk this path and to say that, hey, you don't need that much. And when you start to have a lot of attention, of this and that, then you say, hey, it's not that I don't need it. I also don't want it, because simple life, it's happy life.
But these a lot of these attachments that people have is what leads to addiction and illness, correct? These things that we can't let go of that seem so important, you know, that we can't survive without, mm-hmm. are the same things that are bringing us down, correct?
Yeah. And everything is because of the education. We need to change the way that we are training ourselves and the people around us. We need really to be honest. We need to be coherent. And we need to stop hurting ourselves. We need to stop hurting our planet. We need to stop polluting. We need and must to do things different. And I'm completely optimistic about the future, because I have a past and also a present. And I'm happy. I'm completely happy. And I think that if I could make it, anyone can. It's just about having the opportunity and to walk in that same journey. So I'm now working with ANU Vibe, that it's an association from Venezuela. They are ONG that it's member of the WFUNA. So they were doing work with traditional medicines as ayahuasca and yopo for more than 10 years in Venezuela, Colombia, Peru, and different. And 2 years ago, they had my research with the toad medicine. And as a member of the active reserve of this United Nations Association for Venezuela, I'm walking with other Taitas, sharing these medicines. We are doing retreats with Cambo, Yopo, and Toad, and ayahuasca, healing mainly synthetic drug addictions. But we are working also with
Are you there? Your voice faded out a bit,
doctor. We are working also with
Hello, doctor.
That we are doing these retreats, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, your voice was fading out a bit. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, better. Okay, in the retreats that we are doing now, combining these medicines, I can tell the benefits of having a combination and support and integration before, during, after the experiences, and creating these groups of support to people. And so far, the results are better than working only with one medicine separately. So I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about learning more about myself and the nature, and to change, to improve, and to do things better. I'm learning about my own mistakes. I'm learning about my own experience, and I want to express that I'm really happy and proud, and at the same time, with all the humbleness and in service to humankind and the planet. So yeah, thanks, Andrea.
That's beautiful. I have a question about healing. Would you say that you are totally healed, or is that always an ongoing process? Are we always?
Well, that's great. I believe that there is no such thing as personal enlightenment or permanent enlightenment. I really believe that you can do all kinds of techniques, and at the end of the day, that will be just your own story. And it's not about being perfect. I think that the work with the medicines and the work of healing ourselves, it's permanent. We need to do that every day with our diet, with our habits, and also to try to understand that of it's all of us, or it will be none of us. That at the same of the day, we all are connected, and the final goal is to free all the suffering that we are causing and doing to ourselves and our planet, not only for the people that are it's alive, but also for all the our ancestors, and also for all the people that will come to this planet after us. So I think that we are in depth with history, we are in depth with the universe, but mostly with ourselves. I think that we all can do better, and I think that this it's an endless process. That's why I'm still taking medicines. I haven't met anyone that I believe that they don't need improve or they can't improve. I think that if those people who feel themselves that they are awakened, please, guys, help other people to do the same, because this ship is going down.
Well, yeah, because you go around the world, so you see this. And certainly if we heal ourselves, then we'll heal the planet, correct? You know, I think you're dropping out a little bit. I don't know if you can hear me, but...
I can hear you. Yeah.
Well, you know, the statement that let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. But healing, and it looks like we've lost each other. Let's see. So we've lost our doctor, and let's see if we can get him back. Doctor, are you there?
Yeah.
So I was saying, let there be the statement, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. We can say the same thing about healing, that if we heal ourselves and if we all focus on self-healing, then we're moving closer to healing the planet, correct?
Yeah.
And that we should always continue to work at healing ourselves. And then, I mean, it'll be an amazing transformation globally if we all focus on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's the opportunity that we have to change the reality forever. That I've seen that intuitions can show you a place, but we need to bring those teachings to this reality. People can spend a lot of time trying to escape from their own mind, with all these visions and all these messages, but at the end of the day, we need to change our daily life. This is the reality that it's important and that it's necessary to transform, because all the rest of the universes, places or realities that we cannot see, they still being there. And if they are just a product of our imagination induced by the usage of these medicines, I still believe in that it's beneficial for our society. Because after people have the experience with the total medicine, they are not talking about aliens or beings or spirits or visions or messages. Everyone is talking about love. Someone called this molecule the God molecule, not because you are watching a person with white, gray beard sitting in a cloud. No, it's because after that, most people can only say, oh my God. And I believe that as more people feel that they are the center of their own universe, and more people accept and assume that responsibility, then it will be easier for this world as society to be a better place, because we can spend the rest of our lives sitting, twisting or contortioning or waiting for something to happen. But if we don't plant the plants, if we don't clean the rivers, if we don't stop wasting energy, if we don't stop polluting, then it will be no more opportunities, not for us, not for everyone else. So I think that we just reached that point of no return, and we need to be awake. And I think that these medicines are the direct way for that. I don't think that this is a secondary form. I don't think that this is a shortcut. I don't think that this is unreal. I believe that we are the product of our food and our habits, and also the things that we are not ingesting anymore. And I think that that's why we live in this crazy society. People now are addicted to the idea to be healthy through any kind of pill. People are waiting for someone else to fix them, and we are just giving the responsibility of ourselves to system, governments, religion. We are forgetting and losing that fact that only every one of us can do the difference in our own life. No one else can do it, and the time is ticking.
Yeah. What a beautiful message. You know, so you've healed yourself. You've helped to heal others. You went to, the traditional medical, becoming a doctor. And where would you say you've learned your greatest lesson about healing?
It will be on the space of the medicines. The vibrational state induced by the medicines has been the greatest teacher, the biggest lesson, and the clearest message. That I learned more about myself and nature from these plants than all the education that I received in my formation as a health professional, and also as a citizen, and also as a human being, and also as a spirit. People talk too much and people do too little, sometimes nothing. And most part of the information that I learn and accumulate into my brain when I was a kid, all that was gone. And it was useless, and I just waste my time and my energy trying to remember all this data, and it's obsolete and it's just useless. So I think that we need to change everything in our society, starting for the education. Yeah. I think that the kids need to learn how to grow food instead of learn all the capital cities of the world, because they will be hungry the rest of their life and most of them will never step in those places. I also believe that when people are obsessed in buying a house, they are missing the opportunity to travel all over the world. And I can see the future, all these semi-nomadic people traveling one place to another, visiting different healings, visiting different teachings, learning about themselves. No more hospitals, but a lot of schools of ancient traditions, arts, and I think that we must do a party, celebrate 365 days a year, not only 1 week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, like in some festivals. I really believe that we must use all the resources and the energy that we have now to create a better place for living every day of the rest of our lives, not just 1 week or one night. And I just want to invite people to change their mind a little bit and open their hearts and realize that we all are here in this blue ship and it's the only one that we have. And we can still using our energy to try to reach other planets, or we can do something better for this one. So yeah, I think that the biggest changes start inside of our hearts, and instead of looking outside, we need to look in there. And these medicines are the best way and the easiest way and the fastest way and the best way to do it. Not the only way.
Beautiful.
Not the only. There is many other ways, but other ways are slow, weak. Some people never reach those places because they don't have the discipline or the time or the energy or the will. And so far, I haven't seen anyone that take this medicine properly and they feel nothing. So far, no one. I'm still looking for anyone like that.
That's beautiful. So do you have anything to share that we have not covered? And do you have closing reflections? And also, how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to?
Yeah, well, my Facebook profile, it's my full name, Octavio Retig Hinojosa in Spanish, or Octavio Retig Hinojosa in English. And I'm also with the Facebook page, Toad of Dawn, like the title of my book. I invite people to read my personal story, getting the book, and also to announce that next year the documentary about the work that I did with the series and the archaeological research that I did, and some the message will be out, I think, to the beginning of the next year. And now people can watch the episode of Shamans of the Global Village on the website of Shamans of the Global Village. This is the first episode of 12 chapters that Rakra Sam and John Niles Heckman are doing about the sacred medicines of the world. And the pilot episode was about my work. It's a 1 hour episode, and you can see there really beautiful footage of the toad, the medicine, the extraction, the ceremony. And I think that the little by little, the message will be there. And I think that the toad has arrived and the cosmic consciousness is rising and the 5-MeO-DMT is here. He never went anywhere. We were just with some kind of amnesia. But I think that we start to remember our origins and also the possibilities that we can access with our life. So I'm also with my email. It's dr.otac@gmail. And I'm really happy to keep sharing the medicine, sharing the message, doing the work, and learning about the planet. So Hopefully we will meet one day, Andrea, in person, and you will have the medicine, and then you will understand better the message that I was trying to share.
Yeah, it's beautiful. What a beautiful message and a beautiful book. The Toad of Dawn. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much, Doctor. You are amazing and very special. Thank you for all that you do to help to make the world a better place.
It is. And we already won. It's just a matter of time, and people will remember that those things that we are trying to achieve in the outside, they are really inside of us, and we don't need to do anything to be. We are already. And it's beautiful to know that everything is perfect, that we are all are just pure infinite love and energy and vibration. And that's more than a reason for celebrating every day, dancing, singing, clapping, and being completely full of joy, because this life, it's forever, I think.
Yeah, and healing.
yeah, healing. Everyone is doing the self-healing, and we are healing our family and our society and our world. And no one is a healer. No one can heal anyone else. But we all can walk together, shoulder by shoulder, and we all can be friends and brothers and sisters, and we all can help to other people, helping first ourselves. So that's what I did. That's what I'm still doing. I'm still cleaning myself. I'm still taking medicine and medicines. And I think that I will still doing this for the rest of my life. It's my passion. My passion. I love it. And
I have a quick question though for you for your medicine. So how often do you take it?
Well, I do take medicine with every person that I'm sharing the medicine. Before, I used to take the same amount that I was given. I will work one-on-one, but now I don't need to receive that same amount, because my body knows how and where to go. But I do full releases of my stock energy, let's say 3 or 4 times a year. But I don't use as much medicine as I did in the past, because I'm not trying now to change something specific. But for me, it's the only way to do the work, taking medicine with the person at the moment. And so I take medicine every day that I'm working. And when I'm not working, I'm doing a regular life, watching movies or doing exercise or taking walks or going for a jog or doing anything, resting and eating. And I'm just a really happy, regular person. How can I say? This part of myself that was never satisfied before, it's gone. So now I just became a workaholic, because I really enjoy the things that I'm doing, and I love watching people smile and sparkling eyes and all the hugging and all the party. So now that's my new addiction, and it's a beautiful one, and I want to keep it forever, and I want to gain more addictions like that one.
Yeah, I'm smiling, so laughter is a good thing, Doctor.
Yeah.
Very healing, right?
Yeah, very healing, yeah.
Well, you know, it's a pleasure. You and I could talk all day.
Yeah, I know.
You have to write another book.
I will. Actually, my next book is about not my experience, but the experience that I've learned working with the medicine with thousands of people. So far, I shared the medicine with more than 6,000 people in more than 30 countries. So now I can tell a lot, not about me, but about the rest. And I think that that will be really useful and important, because every day more people are accessing to this kind of medicines, and it would be great for them to know the risks, the possible side effects, and also the why I use water, why I ask people to stand, why I don't ask people to lay down, why I'm sometimes tapping people, why sometimes I need to yell people, why sometimes I need to kick someone in the ass. It's not because I am violent or I'm crazy or I'm enraged. It's because you need to push people or help people, even sometimes against their own will. Some people, when the time comes, they are unable to walk farther because they are full of fear, and sometimes they need someone there telling, hey, you are not a failure, you are not your mind, you are not weak, you are not a loser, you are not a quitter. You are gonna succeed, you are gonna prevail, and you're gonna survive, and I'm gonna help you to do that, and I'm doing it. So that's why I share my work openly with people. That's why there is all these hundreds of hours of videos on YouTube, and I think that this is just the beginning, because I'm just 37 years old, and I think that people will see and hear about me a lot on the next years, if I still having the blessings of the universe to be healthy, alive, and free. But thanks to the internet and to all the media that now are following my work, I think that this will be never forget. I really believe that people will understand that we need to protect nature, we need to preserve the toads, we need to protect the desert. We must do that. That's more important than going to the moon. It's more important than going to Mars. It's more important than a lot of things. We really need to make people available this medicine for people in the next generations, because without that medicine, people that are now doing all this delinquency on the streets, robbing, stealing, and harming themselves and people, they are just victims of their ignorance and the confusion and all these poisons that we are using, because we are lost and we are crazy and we are just ignorance. So I really believe that we all are one, we all are the same, and I really want that the rest of the Octavio Retic that are out there lost, consuming the same things that I was consuming, they also deserve this opportunity, and I will do everything that is on my reach to make that possible. So until my heart still beating and I will still breathing, I will do this for me and for everyone, because it's what I know and feel that it's right.
Oh, beautiful. Gracias.
Gracias, Andrea.
Thank you.
Well, now, before saying goodbye, I just want to sing a little chant of the Seri community.
Oh, good.
Goes like this. Hanukkah moya veneta, heponga zima kalame kakeya, heponga zima kalame kakeya, kwamu kwame yoga ame kakeya, ya vede doge bebe ne, Hanukkah moya veneta, heponga zima kalame kakeya, Canto chant of the beauty of the girls and the beauty of the love that it's around us. So thank you, Andrea. See you soon, and thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
See you soon. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care. Beautiful. I would like to thank our guest, Dr. Octavio Retig Inhofe, for being here to discuss the Divine Arts Media book, The Toad of Dawn, 5-MeO-DMT, and the Rise of Cosmic Consciousness. For more information, please visit www.divineartsmedia.com and look for Dr. Octavio Rettig Inehosa on Facebook. And you can look for him under his name and under the book title, which is The Toad of Dawn. I would like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. To each and every one of you out there, thank you so much for joining me, Andrea Garrison, and connecting here online with Andrea. Listen to me live or listen to the archive. Just continue connecting heart to heart. But in the meantime, do whatever you can to reach out to help others, and never underestimate the power of a friendly smile. Take care.
Thank you for connecting to Online with Andrea, with your host, Andrea Garrison.